Now, a very serious story, an escalating crisis. That's how the coroner for Northern Ireland is describing the number of deaths linked to misuse of counterfeit versions of the drug Xanax. Joe McCriskin says he is signing off a related death nearly once a week. He says most of the deaths are caused by fake versions of Xanax. That's the brand name for this drug.
2015, in Northern Ireland, we had one death where alprazolam was linked to the death with other drugs. In 2016, there were 16 deaths. 2017, we had 26 deaths. And 2018, it's looking like that might double. I mean, that's an indication of not an emerging crisis, but an escalating crisis.
Now, Ciarán McGrandless is in the studio with me this morning. Good morning to you, Ciarán.
Good morning, Steve.
Good to talk to you, mate. And you've battled a serious drug addiction.
Yes, I have battled a serious drug addiction with benzodiazepines, mainly Xanax, and it's a hard addiction. It's evil, so it is.
How old were you when you first started taking drugs?
As my first smoke of cannabis was at the age of 11.
And really?
And then I was smoking a bit of cannabis, and as I got to about 13, 14, I was taking like diazepam and stuff. I never knew what a Xanax was until I was about 19, 20. I was taking Xanax and I was taking diazepam and stuff like that there, and then cocaine, moving on like that. It was just ruining my life. I was going downhill. I was in that bracken from the age of 15 because my head had went with taking that many blue bombers, they were called back then.
And when you're pumping your body, your young body, like such, you know, 11, 12, 13-year-old body, I guess nobody can, at any age can cope with drugs, but at that age, it really screws you up really quickly, right?
It's left in me with like schizophrenia, mate. I'm a paranoid wreck. I think everyone's talking about me. I think everyone thinks I'm the devil, and I think real bad stuff about myself, but it's until me people like yourselves and the people say you're not as bad as you're making yourself out to be. I'm my own worst critic. It's left my brain fried, so it has.
And why were you taking these drugs when you were young?
They were on the street. They were available. I was getting offered them left, right, and centre. There were so much of them, and they were so cheap. And the blackout stuff that happened when I was younger, like stuff that happened, was just used as a blacker and a getaway and a different me. It was like a mask I was using drugs for.
And it's fine if you don't want to talk about it, right? But do you want to share with us why what you were blocking out, or is that private?
I was blocking out. I was a victim of sectarian attacks. I was pipe bomb, blast bomb, petrol bombs thrown on my house and stuff. And I never knew that this is why I was using these drugs until I went to counselling. And the counsellor told me that I was acting like a child. When you hear your mother and father shouting at each other, you run and hide under the bed. And she says, I was running and hiding under the drugs to take me away from all that there. And it wasn't until I started getting counselling and all, I realised that the counsellor was right, and I need to be off them drugs. I can't use them as a mask no more.
And how easy is it for a child to get drugs in the area you live?
How easy is easy as getting fed? You just need to walk out the front door, click your fingers, just look for a person. Can you get me any Xanax? Yes, I have them here. That's the way it is. Yes, it really is that easy. Just walk to the bottom of your street and you'll bump into someone that sells them. You know it. They're everywhere. If you go into Belfast City Centre, you're getting offered them. There's people coming up and saying, are you looking at any Xanax? You looking at any blues? You looking at any yes? Are you looking at? There's just the drugs have escalated big time in Northern Ireland.
And after you would take them, Ciarán, what is the after effect? What's the after experience?
Psychosis, suicidal thoughts. I've had many of suicidal thoughts, and I've lost many of friends through suicide. Many of friends through suicide, and not all of them was because of drugs. But that you just when you wake up the next morning, you end up in a police cell. Most people end up in a police cell and have to press the buzzer and ask what they're there for. They can't remember nothing. It's more or less like a date rape drug. You just don't remember nothing. I can remember one time that I sniffed a wee tiny bit of a Xanax bar, just the tiniest wee nip of it. I sniffed it, and I was apparently walking about my friend's house, didn't know where I was, and then I woke, snapped out of it, and went, where was I? What am I doing? Where am I? And everyone started laughing at me and saying, you've been here all night and all, but I didn't remember any of them. I didn't remember any of these people because I sniffed a wee bit of the Xanax, and I just lost it all. I've been in prison. When I was in prison, I've seen people have wet the bed, people have been getting pulled out on stretchers. The medic has been getting up and down the wing of the jail with heart monitors because the people were sniffing the Xanax and checking their heart, and people near dying, getting rushed out the hospital and stuff.
What's the lowest point for you?
What's the lowest point
that I've been at? What was the lowest point that you experienced?
I've lost everything, so I have. I've lost the relationship with my son. I lost the relationship with my ex-partner. I've lost the relationship with my mother, my father, all of the family. But since I've come off them, I've started to get all that there back. And
fantastic.
Slowly but surely, like...
Have you seen your son again?
I've seen my son, yes. I'm actually,
that must be special.
It's a big, you see the smile on my face. My son's my rock. I love getting him, and it is very, very special.
How old is he?
He's 6, he's 7 here in day and day of month.
And what's his first name?
Kieran. Same as myself.
Big smile on your face.
Big smile on my face, Steve, yep.
And what about your mum? You...
Mum, getting back on terms with her, there, everyone's proud of me. Even my granny and all, they all can't believe it. Usually I would go off drugs for a couple of weeks and they're like, you're over the worst of it. But I always go back to my old ways because of where I live. I can walk out the front door, and if I stand there for 10 minutes at the most, there's going to be someone walks past me that sells Xanax, or their brother sells Xanax, or their uncle has the Xanax. It's just crazy and how cheap they are too.
Paul McCusker sitting beside you, youth worker, North Belfast youth worker, SLP counsellor, and Xanax is designed when it is prescribed properly by a doctor, Paul, to treat anxiety and panic attacks, right?
Yes, Stephen, it's a real public health concern, and one of things...
Oh, sorry, it's not available in the NHS.
No, it's not. No, it's prescribed normally in the US.
Okay.
And, so it's not available on the NHS.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. And Xanax is brought in by other countries. And as you know, Kieran, who did use it, talked about being brought in from as far as away as...
They're made in Pakistan, and then they're sent to like London, Southampton, places like that there. That's called the hub, and then they're shipped to Belfast. So that's why it's next day delivery. You think, how's it getting the next day from Pakistan? But it's actually coming from London. They have already shipped them to England.
And I suppose the thing is, the big challenge today, Stephen, is the polydrug use. So a lot of people are mixing Xanax with other drugs, which increases their risk as well. And for Kieran, you know, when I met Kieran back in November, it was a real dark place. And people like Kieran who are using Xanax, using drugs, needs that opportunity just to help change their life around. But because we've been talking about drugs for many years, it's, as Joe McCriskin did say, it's an escalating crisis. And for those who are walking our streets and those caught up with addiction, quite often they need that immediate support. Kieran's now currently getting support at Rosemount House, which is a hostel primarily looking at addiction. And more programmes like that are needed for people like Kieran who at one stage did that, nearly lost his life through using Xanax. Yeah. The problem is too, it's counterfeit, so when it's been sold on the street, they don't actually know what they're taking. They don't know what's actually in the tablets. And it's very concerning. Even you can buy one Xanax for £1. You know, so it's been sold at a very low price. It's very accessible. And for those people who are using it and caught up with addiction, they don't know what they're putting in their bodies. And the main thing, the message is that people shouldn't be taking any medication unless it's prescribed by your doctor. Mm. There is support there. Kieran's sitting here today because he engaged with services. And one of the big things, you know, that we do, you know, in terms of outreach stuff on the streets is about sharing that message of hope. If you're suffering an addiction, and there'll be many families listening to Stephen this morning whose their loved ones are suffering from addiction and quite often don't know where to turn. I mean, I get a call daily about people who are wanting support, need help, but don't know, quite often know where to turn. But there's great organisations like Addiction NI and Dunleary Health Addiction, but the first protocol should be a GP. if you're suffering addiction, if you're using Xanax, there is help and support there. And Kieran is testimony of that in terms of actually him being able now to turn his life around with support.
It's a whole world, this, that I just didn't know about. Right? You know, the very fact I thought it was prescribed by a doctor and these things aren't even on, they're not here. So Xanax shouldn't be in this country at all, right?
No, they shouldn't be here. And the thing is, too, as well, they've been sold on Facebook and social media, and you know, getting Xanax, as Kieran did say, is like going to shop and buying a sandwich. That's how easy it is to get Xanax in Belfast. One element we need to look at in terms of the awareness, education, early intervention. On the other hand, then the police need to look at, you know, where it's coming in from and have a more proactive approach around, you know, those gangs. Because in Belfast, we know that those criminal gangs are selling drugs is on the increase. And those gangs are controlling the amount of Xanax and drugs that have been sold on our streets that are poisoning people, that are actually, you know, increasing the risk of ill health and also death.
And Ken, why did you engage with the services? Why did you decide that's it?
I engaged with Paul here because I felt like I've lost a lot of friends through suicide, and I felt like I was going to be the next one. And I'd died, or apparently died, for 15 minutes in the welcome centre, and there was a worker that had to work with me, and I was on one Xanax bar, and the worker had to work with me and keep working with me. They hit me with naloxone, which is for a heroin overdose, but I wasn't on heroin, and it didn't bring me around. And he says, I kept working on you. I was about to give up.
What's that mean, working on you? What do they do?
Giving me chest compressions and resuscitate me, yeah. It's stopping and turning blue. I was on the ground, like, dead.
How old are you?
I'm 26 now. I've severe liver damage and everything, with only 26 years of age, and I have to go to the hospital at the end of the month for about my liver. I've been a couple of times already. I've seen the scars on my liver myself of getting it checked out, and it's not nice. Like, what drugs have done to me, they've ruined my life, they've ruined every relationship I've had. I'm only now starting to pull it back together with my father, who's the main man in my life. But when I was growing up, I didn't look at it that way. I looked up to the drug dealers, or I should have looked up to my father, so that. And now I'm looking up to my father, and everything's going well for me.
And when you've been in that world of, I guess, crime and, you know, and all of that that's associated with taking these drugs, how difficult is it now to turn your life around? So what are your hopes, and what do you want for you? So let's look at it in terms of positivity in the future, all right? It's incredibly, you know, there's a strength in you to get up on your feet and to try to fight back. That's incredible. Yeah. So what do you want to do now with your life?
What I want to do is, I want to be the father that my father was to me. I want to be to my son. That's the most important thing. But I want to find full-time work, and I want to go out and work an honest living, and I know I worked for it there, same way my father did.
Have you ever worked?
I did work when I was 20, just as a delivery driver for a chippy, but that's the only job I've ever had. My father had given me a chance and let me work in his warehouse, and it didn't work out because he was suspicious of me taking drugs, you know what I mean? He didn't want to let me work with him.
Have you got a job now?
No, I've no job now, but I'm planning on getting a job. I've been looking for work.
The reason I'm asking that question is because I wonder how difficult it is to get a job, right? And to get somebody to trust you when they maybe ask about your background.
Yes, well, that I went for a job in Convergys.
What's Convergys?
It's like a call centre.
Okay.
It sells phones. And I'm a very honest person, so I was honest telling them about my background and my convictions and all, and I told them that there, and they sent me in to do the interview, and I was told, look, you've passed the interview, actually, you've got the job. But they didn't phone me, and now I'm sitting thinking, that's because of my background, because I was open and honest and told them, listen, I've done this, I've done that, and I used to take this and used to take that. And so it's very difficult for me to get a job now.
And I'm guessing it's a vicious circle, Kieran, in that a job will give you stability, it'll give you a reason to get up in the morning, and it'll help your recovery, and yet it's difficult to get a job because of your past.
Yes, so all these things, they're part of my recovery, but then if I'm not getting it's difficult finding a job, so it's like leading, like people are thinking, so it's only going to end one way, it's going to go back on it,
but it's not going to end that way. I'm determined. I can't let myself go. I can't go back to what broke me in the first place. I can't, and I can't do that with my family. I really can't. My son, I want to be there for my son, and I don't think I'll... If it was to start taking Xanax today, his birthday's at the end of the month, and I don't think I would get to see his birthday. I think it would end up dead or another statistic. That's just truth, like, Stephen. That's just the way it is. There's so much of it about. It's buds, Xanax, diazepam, everything. And it's all sorts of... I'm not a doctor or a chemicalist, but it's all sorts of just dirt put into this here.
He sounds, Paul, like he means it in terms of trying to make something of his life now.
He does, Stephen. And when I met him back in November, he's a very dark place and he's taken those steps. He's, you know, actively looking for work. He's engaging with a programme around his addiction and he's putting all those pieces back in his life that he'd lost before. And he is taking those steps, which people like ourselves who are working on the streets and working with people who are addicted is about is encouragement. But the key thing for anybody who's suffering addiction is environment. The environment has to be key for anybody's recovery. Quite often, you know, numbers are increasing. You know, our agencies and services are working really hard for people who are out there suffering addiction. As Joe McCriskin said, it's an escalating crisis. But we have to ensure, like people like Kieran, do get an opportunity to take those steps in life that's going to make his life better. Because you can see he's so much potential, and quite often when he's caught up with the addiction and taking drugs, they don't realise their potential. And it's about sitting down with him, giving opportunity, letting him be heard and getting that help and support.
Is there a job you want? Is there a job, like, what do you want to be? What do you want to do?
I lost my license through drugs as well, so I'd like to get my license back and then become like a delivery man, driver, but I would love to be a caterer or something at the minute. That's the sort of work I'm into, like, and they're working in restaurants and stuff.
And how long have you lost your licence for? Can you get it back soon?
I get my licence back here on the 16th of March, and I can't wait to do it. I've someone there, very good friend of mine, someone there that has the money put away for me to go straight in and do it. He promised me this, and he stuck to his promise. So I'm looking forward to that there, and I do know the future holds better things for me, because I was in a dark place, as Paul said, in November, but I've seen all the dark thoughts and all are all coming out of my mind now, and I feel that I used to doubt myself, but now I'm going, I can do that and I will do that. And there's a lot of people I need to prove wrong. Everyone thought that I was going to die, I was going to do this, I was going to do that. I've still a lot of people to prove wrong. And it's not even about proving them wrong. It's about proving my family right that I could do it.
And you see, when I just finally came, when I said to you, what do you want to be? You know, there are all different types of jobs in life, and some have bigger status and bigger money and all that kind of stuff. But what you've talked about in this interview today, from what I've heard, is you want to be a really good dad.
Yeah, that's my main priority.
That doesn't need money. That doesn't need status. Nobody can stop you being that. Nobody.
You're right, Steve. Nobody can stop me.
And that's what an incredible achievement that would be, wouldn't it? If you think about that. That would be extraordinary. That would be the best job in the world.
Yeah, you're right. That's the job I want to be. I want to be a great father and be able to take my son away on holiday, take him to the park, take him to his collecting from school, do all stuff like that, do stuff that a normal father should do, stuff that I should have done from the start, but I let these drug dealers get in the way. But there's no way I'm letting it happen again. I'm not going down that slippery slope.
So do it, man.
Thank you very much, Stephen. I will.
Be a brilliant dad.
Thank you very much, I will.
Right. It's been a pleasure talking to you today.
Pleasure talking to you, Stephen.
Paul, thanks very much.
Thanks, Stephen.
Thank you.